to another excerpt of the Vixen's Vault. I am your host, the Wiccan Vixen. Today is Sunday, September the 13th, 2015, 2 days after the anniversary of September 11th. I'd like to welcome you all aboard to the Vixen's Vault. Tonight, my guest is, again, Dr. Charles Weston. I had Dr. Weston on several weeks ago, and we were discussing some conspiratorial type of information. Some of it had to do with the strange, shall we say, I'm going to say executions. I'm going to take a jump on that and say executions of some of the holistic physicians and why that might be. And then, of course, in the hiatus where we did not talk, I come across an article on U.S. News regarding a convention that took place recently where 29 holistic doctors were actually poisoned. And it's actually being investigated as a criminal event. Now, the interesting thing about that was because I thought, wow, U.S. authorities are actually, but no, not so fast. It's actually German authorities because this took place in Germany. And they are taking it very seriously because some of the physicians were actually sick enough to be, you know, considered close to death, which is that's interesting. And not to mention the symptoms that they were all experiencing. As somebody with some medical experience, I thought that sounds airborne. That sounds like a gas or a noxious fume of some type. It didn't sound like something they would have ingested. So I thought that was just really interesting. I mean, there was, I believe some of the symptoms included hallucination and just some really sketchy things. And I thought, wow. And again, for there to be enough for, the authorities in Germany to actually get involved, that is saying quite a bit. But without further ado, Dr. Weston, I know you're on board with me here. I've got you on the air with me. And I mean, I know you didn't get a chance to really look into that, but again, when you're talking about hallucinations, and it's not just a couple of doctors, it's 29 different doctors. That does not go to a food poisoning type deal. It just, that would be extremely rare for a food poisoning event.
I would agree with you. I think of the couple of articles that I did get a chance to look at about it, they were leaning towards the aspect of some type of poisoning because of the nature of the, I guess it would have been the liver toxicity that they had occurring, which typically relates to acetaminophen types of overdoses, et cetera. So that was a little bit of information that had come out early, but granted, it may have been a lot of speculation, but maybe somewhat correlated by some of the emergency personnel and et cetera that were attending to quite a few of these folks. Yeah, 29 plus, I guess. The picture of the AP Reuters article, the first one that I saw, actually, the picture, the article, you know, showed these, you know, 35 ambulances lined up at this conference, which I'm assuming must have been a rather large conference, maybe several hundred doctors there or more. So it was certainly something very real that took place, no doubt about that. And, trying to get more details on what exactly was being discussed at the conference, I think would be quite profound and interesting. One of the things that I thought about that I don't have any confirmation on yet, but, the folks out there that are researching it, remember the original story about the 15 plus doctors now spreading from the Southeast through Mid-Atlantic to the Midwest, now that have succumbed to rather unusual circumstances and all being involved with similar types of study as holistic medical doctors or chiropractors in their practices, was the connection to the component of the nutritional enzyme that kicks in the macrophages in the white blood cell system and makes it do its job better. And I'm keeping it very simple. in that
I was
going to
say, you're really breaking that down.
But I'm just keeping it very simple so that people can understand that that's what it was. And it was a nutritional enzyme, essentially, that was being produced in a manufacturing facility in Europe somewhere. And over the course of, I guess, between, Father's Day, when the first bizarre death occurred, and then there were more and more and more as the weeks went by, and then the next thing you know, a month into that awful chapter of speculation of what exactly was going on with these doctors, then the news came out more about what exactly they were studying, what they were researching, all that kind of stuff, and where the enzyme, pardon my dog, enzyme was coming from. And the enzyme was coming from a facility in Europe. So anyway, sorry, my kids can get away from, hey, you guys, stop it. Jeez, give me a break. Apologize. So that immediately was one of the things that triggered my thought process with hearing about this unfortunate occurrence at this convention in Germany, this conference, and thinking, well, geez, I wonder in some way, shape, or form if there is not a connection to that.
Well, being, really bold and really open, to be honest with you, the holistic medicine industry, and I'm going to call it an industry. I mean, it is an industry in and of itself. It's a huge threat to the pharmaceutical industry. And you've got to imagine the pharmaceutical industry has had a stranglehold on everything. I mean, people always say to me, well, we have this, we have that. Well, war is the biggest threat. I'm like, well, who the hell do you think wants war? The pharmaceutical industry. Because they make a flipping fortune every time we go to war. They literally, right. I mean, they make a killing between vaccinations, between medical equipment needed to assist. I mean, between rehabilitation, you have no idea the windfall war is to pharmaceutical. I was like, and if you look at where a lot of these places are, where a lot of the companies are actually stationed at, they're in neutral countries. Now imagine that. These big industries that are packing in trillions of dollars in profit have very interestingly placed themselves in these countries that declare neutrality when we all go to war. And they've done it historically. I was like, but when you're talking natural medicines, you're talking a lot of times things that are not hard for people to actually be able to find, although GMOs have made it more difficult. Let's be honest. These are things that grow within nature many times. And if you know what you're looking for and know what is edible, you can very much take very good care of your own body by taking care of your basic intestinal tract, your digestive system. And I've always told everything starts with digestion.
Absolutely. It is the first and most major structure of your immune system is your digestive tract. And unfortunately, the medico-pharmacological industrial complex has been in the process of trying to figure out how to destroy that for quite some time now. You and I have had numerous private conversations about the historical understanding of this, and I don't know if that's something you've ever gone into with your audience before or not, but, the history of that, which, in trying to define it, it's rather broad, but the big picture is that the reason that we went away from the natural medicines, the things that grow naturally, that produce health and immunity and defend the body, et cetera, we went away from the things the medicine man created 150 years ago that grew naturally all around us, even though, granted, most of it does still grow naturally around us and can be used and harvested, and et cetera, and has been obviously by a huge business that is, natural homeopathic types of healthcare. However, though, it is attacked on a daily basis by the powers that be and the FDA, et cetera. And the crux of that is that the pharmaceutical industry is derived from a lot of petroleum-based products. So you come back to big oil, you come back to the turn of the century, and you talk about the Standard Oil family, the Rockefeller family, others involved in the oil industry. They were the people who guided medicine ultimately via an agenda to go away from all of the natural homeopathic and vitamin types of therapies that were what we were all about as a nation for, you know, a good 170 years or so anyway, before that all started to go south. Thanks.
Well, you even have the DuPont family that you mean. You had the DuPonts. You had Morgan. You had literally. I mean, every powerhouse family I can think of had their hands in. Yeah,
yes.
They literally did. It's even interesting because if you think about the way homeopathy was shut away and forbidden and outlawed, I mean, even I've always tried to tell people, even marijuana was not outlawed because of the fact that it was considered a dangerous drug. I mean, I think people are very misguided. It was actually a threat to DuPont's latex patent. That's why it was outlawed.
It was a threat to the petroleum-based pharmaceutical industry and what their agenda was to be. That's right, and that's why the war was waged on marijuana, cannabis, et cetera. There's so much to that. And as a matter of fact, I think the last time we did talk, we were plugging some literature and things like that. If anybody in the audience who has not read A World Without Cancer by G. Edward Griffin, get his most updated version of that book, which he updated the book in 2011. So it's a four-year-old version now. And the whole second half of that book, he lays it out for you as to this agenda that Nancy and I are talking about. And he does it in incredible style as usual. He is quite an eloquent writer and orator as far as listening to him do lectures. But that second half of that book, and it's not a lengthy read. I think there might be a couple hundred pages in the book, something you can read in a weekend or less. But that it gives you that whole breakdown, and it's really incredibly enlightening. And then it becomes very powerful information to you to be able to use, and especially as a chiropractor and trying to promote natural health with my patients. As a matter of fact, that book, along with his other books, Creature from Jekyll Island, actually sit on my little front desk area where I have in my small little lobby in my little office where I work by myself. So people are able to see it, view it, read through some of it, buy a book from me, I'll give them a book if they want it, whatever. And the power of that information of understanding this agenda is really part of why we have such an enormous awakening happening in the world of health, as far as people voting with their dollars more and more and more, pushing back against the forced vaccine issues and the GMOs that clearly cause cancer and other types of autoimmune type problems by upsetting your digestive tract. Never mind the obvious other horrible things that are coming from these genetically modified organisms that they've created in their wonderful laboratories. So it's a huge discussion in and of itself.
Yep.
Yeah, it really is. And honestly, it really does affect one and all of us. I mean, from the first world countries to the third world countries, we're all affected. I mean, people, you don't understand, even like he was saying, the genetically modified. You know, people say, well, it's just a little splicing. No, they're splicing our foods with insecticides and with different poisons that they use to actually kill things. And the fact is even if it's in the most minute levels, that is all seeping into our aquifers because it goes to the root systems of the plant and it gets into the soils and the soils get into the water supplies. And when you have a great amount of that, a small amount of it's going to dissipate and become absolutely completely harmless. But when it's a huge amount, which it's become because these crops have become a huge part of our economy and our agriculture, now we're in trouble because now it's infected its way into everything. There's really no avoiding it. And that's something I actually, I think I told you, Dr. Weston, I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but I have a friend who actually, one of the things he does is goes around the country and he tests the different aquifers. And he can tell you for a fact that the levels in the aquifers are, it's not funny. It's not right, funny.
Can I pipe in?
No, you're referring to the glyphosate issue from Roundup and all that.
Yeah, Dr. Weston's right. It's the glyphosate that's leaching into the water table. But the thing you have to watch out that they're breeding into the genetically modified crops is the BT toxins, which are engineered to cause bugs' stomachs to explode. Kind of like in the old days when the cruel kids used to throw Alka-Seltzer at seagulls just to watch their stomachs explode. But, I mean, that's basically the same premise. But the thing about it, though, is there have been studies that have come out that say that these BT toxins are also affecting humans as well. It's a cumulative effect that is causing microscopic tears within the entire intestinal tract. And so these, you know, whenever we take in all these impurities and medications and whatnot that are supposed to be filtered out by our digestive system, or some of it's leaching through these microscopic tears, and that's why our stomachs are all messed up. And by the way, I'm sorry about that. Me. So, hello, Dr. Weston.
That's
how you doing tonight?
Hey, good. It's Raphael, you made it.
Yes, it is.
You're there. All right. Yes, sir. No, you're exactly right. Actually, one of the, I'll throw a name out. Look up Dr. Loomis, Loomis. He has been one of the premier researchers and nutritional gurus that discusses the leaky gut syndrome and referring to exactly what you were talking about. This has been a process over, 40, 50 years now that the destruction of the food, the messing with the water, with the toxins that are in it, along with now adding more additional due to the agribusiness, et cetera, with the Roundup and all that, you now have, just an absolute explosion in the past 25 years of all these autoimmune types of disorders, everything from, fibromyalgia to lupus and MS and all types of other entities, the irritable bowel syndrome and Crohn's disease syndromes, all of those types of things can be tied directly back to much of what we were just talking about. And the ineffectiveness then of the medical community to try and treat these entities, these types of problems with other pharmaceutical types of products, it's an absolute disaster. And I've witnessed it firsthand with many of my patients over, I've been in practice now for about 29 years. And literally it's become a, I'd say 40 to 50% of the people that I have treated in the past 20 years as a part of their history, that's a part of it. They have an autoimmune disease, they have Crohn's disease, they have irritable bowel syndrome, they have some type of a immune system dysfunction that has been caused predominantly by diet, water, et cetera.
It's interesting because, and Raphael will actually 100% back this up, when I get sick, which is rare, I am not a person who generally gets sick, but when I do, usually it goes through my intestines. I don't get sick like everybody else. Like everybody else will go down with a cold, a really bad cold. And I will go through
sinus or upper respiratory. You don't get that stuff. Yeah.
I normally do not get that. It's very rare when I do, but if I get I will end up in the bathroom and he'll tell you in agony for about, 6-8 hours, Raphael?
Yeah.
Where I'm just in the sweats in an agony and then it's gone.
I got to help the rest of you people out there. I got a health tip for you guys out there. If you ever experience diarrhea or other stomach problems, my suggestion to you is Metamucil. It'll bind up whatever's in there and push it out the back end pretty quick.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
My grandmother's old advice, which was drink a glass of hot water because it's either going to force it up or force it down. And she's 100% right on that.
On another note there, just as far as some general health tips go there, I mean, one thing for everybody to look into doing, no matter how good you think you eat, how much organic food or your own grown food that you eat, your own raised cattle, whatever. If you're filtering your water, and have been for years, great. The bottom line is that detoxification of the body, trying to go through processes of detoxifying the digestive tract, detoxifying the liver, the gallbladder, kidney detoxification, et cetera. There are all kinds of tools that you can get from any very good, think small, shop local, find a little Nature's Remedy kind of shop in town. Maybe you got a good chiropractor in your town that does a lot of nutritional things and discusses those types of things. Find out. Ask questions in your communities and support their businesses and do some of that to try to help enhance the immune system function in your body. And you'd be amazed at how much better you will feel when you put yourself through some of these detoxifications. It makes all the difference in the world, along with, some good chiropractic care to keep your nervous system functioning well, keep your structure in good shape. All of those things create positive, optimal function of the body. And therefore, when you do get attacked by something, whether it's airborne, whether it's something in the food, et cetera, you've got a much greater chance to beat it back as quickly as possible, which is, sounds like, Nancy, you've got a pretty good immune system. If when you get sick and it's done in 24 hours, that's fantastic. That kind of sounds like me. I don't get sick very often either, but when I do, it's bam, I got a fever.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. And the fever's a good thing. These are all the other components of that, too. When you start talking about the basics of keeping yourself healthy, like the kids, like the grandkids have been here. We were talking about that earlier. The grandkids have been here. They're running around. They look like they got, chocolate milk shadows from one cheek to the other and et cetera, et cetera. And the hand's looking pretty grubby and we're running around the floor. We're outside doing stuff, whatever. And it's like, that's how kids' immune systems get strong, okay? Not by giving them the antibacterial soap every time you turn around, or the little squirty bottles of the alcohol antiseptic stuff that all the kids carry at school now. And all this nonsense of weakening the child's immune system. And, of course, now we have a group from age 15 to 40 that are sick all the time. And that was a big part of it. Mommy runs into the doctor, we get another antibiotic. Yeah, that's great. Every time you take an antibiotic, you probably take 10 minutes off your life, and you cause immeasurable damage to your immune system and how it functions.
Well, it's interesting because when I was little, I always remembered my our physician who used to tell my mom, because my mom used to get annoyed at, we kids are kids and we do stupid things, like make a mud pie and eat it. Stupid things.
Sure.
And he used to tell my mother, average kids should eat between an average of 2 to 4 pounds of dirt a year. And he said, I say that for a reason, because it builds their immunity systems. He said, kids are constantly putting their fingers in their mouth where their fingers have been in places where, God, you don't even want to know. He said, but it doesn't make them sick. It's building. And even with my own kids, I was, and Rafa, I'll tell you, with my grandchildren, I do not freak out when my grandkids play in dirt. The only thing I do get is stagnant water. stagnant water does get to me, only because there's some really nasty, nasty viruses that can breed in stagnant water.
That's true. Yeah. And you know the incredible challenge of what you just said about this old family doctor. The challenge would be for your listeners to think about what your doctor has said to you. And if they haven't talked like that, guess what? That's because they're not in the same game. The challenge would be to try to find a doctor like that today, in today's world. Very, very hard to do that. I remember about 6 months ago, it's a short story, was watching an old black and white movie on the TV one Sunday with my wife last winter, and the Rockford Files guy, what was his name? He just passed away recently. James Garner.
Garner, yep.
James Garner was in the movie, and he played a doctor in the movie. And there was a scene of the comedy. Actually, it was part of the beginning of kind of the women's lib push of the late 60s, where his wife was doing something with photography and advertisement, and she was no longer able to be a stay-at-home mom and taking care of the family and all that kind of stuff. And that was creating a lot of angst for James Garner playing the doctor in the movie. But there is a scene in the movie where he is at his office and he is talking to a patient, and the phone rings and it's his wife, and he gets kind of aggravated because he knows he's something else is going on with his wife and whatever. And so he gets off the phone, and of course, and he's smoking a cigarette like they did back in those days. And he turns around from his desk and he grabs two or three different bottles of vitamins and turns around and hands them to his patient. Okay. And I click the TV pause, and I looked at my wife, who has been indoctrinated into the medical system for a good 25 years. She's been an orthopedic surgical tech for most of her medical career, but very well indoctrinated into all of that until she met me about 10 years ago. Anyway, and I looked at her and I said, you see, that's how they used to doctor.
Yep.
Okay, and that's huge. It's a huge understanding to realize where they are now today, and obviously where it's going to continue to go.
Think about it, too. Even things, what we call the uncurables, the uncurable viruses, the rite of passage viruses. You've got chickenpox. You've got mononucleosis, the kissing virus. I mean, you've got things that kids just get. And when I was a teenager or even a kid, you got chickenpox. Yeah, the doctor kind of looked at you and nodded and said, yeah, well, here's your bottle of, what the hell was that stuff? Calamine lotion. Here's your bottle.
Yes.
And take an aspirin. If the fever gets a little bit high, go home. Mm-hmm. And mono, I'll never forget it. Mono, my doctor looked at my mother and she says, I actually ended up having to be hospitalized because I got really sick with mono. But he looked at my mother and he said, there is nothing you can do. There's really not. Mono is just, it's a 6 week thing. It's a pain in the butt, but there's not a lot you can do or take to, you just have to try to stay comfortable and don't let her, you know, if she's fevering, she can't be in school. I mean, it was a normal shit. Excuse the language.
Sure.
But nowadays,
Epstein-Barr virus. I mean, it's,
Oh God. Yeah.
The challenge is if the immune system is capable of dealing with the fight, it's going to learn what it has to do to defend itself from the virus or the bacteria, whatever it is, and it will move on. It'll take some time. You're not going to feel well for a while.
But the thing is, now they're prescribing. They're even for the flu. Come on. We all know that. Oh, well,
absolutely.
you can't take this. It's not going to cure it, but this will alleviate the symptoms. So you're doing what now? I mean, now you're prescribing on viruses.
Have you ever touched on that agenda?
dude, you don't want to get me started. You're talking to a woman who just got off the phone with her mother who got the pneumonia vaccine, a week and a half
goodness.
Ago, and is now so sick she cannot get out of bed. And I was like, I told you not to get that. Why? She says, well, because I'm getting older now. And I said, have you ever had a flu vaccine, Mom? No. So why the hell would you let them go shoot you up with the pneumonia vaccine? I was like, I mean, I get
sorry,
it.
Mom, we're talking about you. Yeah.
You know, I feel so bad because she is really sick. And my mother, you don't know, my mother is this dirty little thing of health. I mean, she's horrible and she's a very healthy woman. And a lot of my habits came from her. I mean, I think I told you I come from a lineage of natural healers. So it's, you know, the knowledge I have with nature-based medicines comes through family. And my mom being one of them. So for her to take that chance, I was like, why did you do that? I mean, yeah. You understand there is live virus involved with that. And I mean, oh my God, I think they're trying to kill our elderly. I really do.
Well,
because, holy
well one thing for certain, unfortunately, is that, you know, there's been a very high probability based on what statistics are out there that, you know, it has caused compromise to their immune systems. And, you know, and that's the thing. That's where, you know, you're 70 years old. Why would you do anything to compromise your immune system any more than it's probably already compromised at this time? Right. You know, so, I go through that challenge every year. I mean, they're already on the DEFCON 1 buzzer for, you know, loading you up with, you know, this year's flu shots and,
last year they got the whole strain wrong.
So,
mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, yeah. it's, I mean, here, and people don't get it. I mean, they say, well, there's the three strains of the flu. No, there's more than three strains of the flu, folks. There's three common strains of the flu. There's a lot more than three strains of the flu. And the fact is that flu is a rite of passage. You're wondering why we have these super bugs. It's because we're creating defenses and the bugs are adapting. They're mutating. It's just like, you know, every other life form on this planet. It's either going to cease to exist or it's going to adapt. And we're creating adapting superbugs. I mean, we have a super bacteria out there now that they can't kill.
Right. Well, so while they're creating these things, at the same time, they're decreasing your immune system's ability to engage in battle. Okay. And there you have it. I mean, there is the part of the agenda. Never mind the, you know, I will never forget, you know, whatever, how many years ago it was when I saw the video of one of the Merck scientists, you know, explaining that they put latent cancer viruses in the MMR vaccine.
Yep.
Okay. And, you know, and I mean, I just sat there looking at this video of this guy going, are you kidding me? You know,
nobody wants to believe that, though. And that's the thing that our medical people know this. They have seen these are videos that you have to watch.
We are aware. I mean, you do. I mean, you know, I mean, by all means, you know, the folks listening, I mean, please take the opportunity while you still have an internet that's fairly accessible, et cetera, and do some homework on this topic, because this is going to be one of the very, very large topics of the, you know, the taking the mark of the beast stuff. Okay. You know, the RFID chips and the forced vaccinations and all of that kind of stuff that's going to go along with, you know, whatever we have coming down the road. And the thing that's so interesting about what you were just talking about too, about how they, you know, they so clearly screwed up the, you know, the supposed flu vaccine from last year.
Yeah.
And yet within 9 months of that horrific screw up, along with all of the other data leaks, all of the other whistleblowers that have come out from the CDC now explaining to you that, yep, they buried all the information about the fact that the autism was directly related to these components of the vaccine. And that's why now we've gone from, you know, 1 in 25,000 to now 1 in 50. Okay. And you know, all of that stuff is happening over the past year. Right. And so then what ends up happening in the past 3 months? Oh, well, now we're going to force vaccinate your kids.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, how is that possible? How is it possible that all this kind of data can be, is available and is understood by a lot of the public now, but yet the lawmakers in the state of California, and they're going to be pushing this in all kinds of other states too. I've seen all kinds of different other bills that are proposed in all kinds of other states trying to force all these vaccines on the kids and then also on the adults as well. Okay.
Well, and I also think that's kind of part and parcel to our lax borders. And I've said that to Raphael multiple times. There's a multi-pronged agenda with the lax border.
Yeah, you're, that's true. I mean, there's no doubt that there's going to be an incredible increase in particularly the tough stuff, you know, like the tuberculosis and, you know, other types of probably pertussis and, you know, some of the stuff that, you know, that are pretty much unheard of and don't occur much here anymore in the United States. They're going to start happening now because of the influx of all
pertussis. They're already, you know, you're seeing the advertisements already for pertussis because now they're doing adult whooping cough vaccines. And I'm like, and they're telling older people it's directed at the elderly, you know, don't don't expose your grandchildren. What? Excuse me. Have you ever caught the creepy crud from one of those little grandchildren? Because that crap will kill you.
It is off the chain. I mean, the attack, the propaganda, the advertising, it's just sickening. I mean, I had to actually stop. It is funny you bring this up. I had to stop into one of the CVS stores for some eye drops that my wife uses for an eye problem that she's trying to keep under control with this particular drop, and I had to pick up something for her daughter that was there down in Augusta. And so I walked into the CVS after I had actually enjoyed myself playing some golf that afternoon with an old friend of mine, and I just couldn't get over the absolute propaganda and indoctrination experience it was to walk into a CVS drugstore, you know, and I'm sure Walgreens is the same, Rite Aid is the same, whatever, you know, whatever the other chains are. Eckerd's, we used to have Eckerd's down in Florida. I don't know if they still have them.
Nah, they went out of business.
Okay. You know, anyway, but I mean, you know, it is just incredible. I mean, there's all kinds of information there. And, you know, this is why you should get the shot, and our pharmacist can give you the shot, and most of the insurance covers it, and blah, blah, blah. Isn't that a beauty, too? Because I'm sure Obamacare does cover giving you the shots. But you know what? I still haven't seen a patient walk into my office in the past 2 years that actually has chiropractic coverage as a part of their Affordable Health Care Act plan. Isn't that interesting?
I don't think they have dental.
No, that's never going to happen.
I let me tell you,
would you say, Raphael, that's not going to happen?
That'll never happen. You know, you're on a losing fight on that one, buddy.
Oh, well, of course. That was the plan all along there with the healthcare, abomination, if you want to call it whatever. I mean, the reality there, too, is, and this is the thing that I like to explain to my patients and to the people that I have conversations with about the healthcare nightmare spiral of death that we're in now, okay? And it's real simple to them, okay? Because typically if they've become a patient of mine, if they've hung around me, if I've had some interaction with them, they understand the criminal fraud that is the Federal Reserve System, who the people are who own it, okay, what, how it ties into the IMF and the World Bank and all this other nonsense, and how this is to be the end game of what happens with the money at some point in time. So then I look at them and I say, okay, now you understand that. I said, now here's what you need to understand about health insurance, or let's just say insurance in general, okay? Those same criminal people who control all of that control all of this.
Oh, yeah.
They own them all, okay? They own all of these insurance companies, okay? They own the people who are deciding what they're doing with these insurance policies, okay?
Well, you know,
that's,
do you know who's,
why we're in the death spiral.
Two husbands of politicians, I'll give you two names of people who helped put together that healthcare bill, and their names you're going to know, Pelosi and Feinstein. And both of their husbands own huge, huge shares in several of the healthcare companies that became the cornerstones of Obamacare. And it was one of my biggest fights as they were putting this all together. I remember Raphael and I talking about it, and I was like, you don't understand. This is not the glorified nationalized health care that everybody's wanting. No, this isn't even VA care. I mean, this VA will look really good compared to this. I mean, this is a freaking joke, and it's nothing but they're trying to basically take a free trade that was out of control. I'm not going to say that the health insurance business was a healthy one. It was out of control. It did need some regulation. It definitely needed to be they needed to get rid of a lot of the different things that were occurring within that system and bring it under control. But I didn't think the federal government had the place of doing that. The free trade market should have done it through elimination. But when you put together what they did for the ACA, and I read the 2000 freaking page bill, I'm one of the idiots that actually sat and read it and knew that there was.
I read most of it too.
I said there was so much pork in that bill. I said, oh my God, if you had actually read it, you'd have been embarrassed. They were more concerned about stuffing that bill for money for shit that has nothing to do with healthcare than they were about anything else. But if you read what was detailed about healthcare, it would have scared the crap out of you. I mean, death panels. Okay, granted, we could have come up with a better way to word that other than death panels, but that's exactly what you were looking at. And you could call it, I mean, whenever you put the words federal government and administrative healthcare panel together, that's a death panel. So sorry to blow people's minds in that way, but grow a brain, have a little bit of freaking common sense. You're putting pencil pushers in charge of life and death decisions. And who's going to get what grade of health care? That is what we call a death panel. I mean, sorry you don't like the way it sounds. It might be a little too blunt for your liberal sprouting brains, but that's what it is. And
everybody's been programmed to trust the government. You got to remember, we're still fighting. We're still fighting, you know, and those of us that are awake are trying to wake up all the people that still think their government is good, that they're still spreading democracy rather than spreading the empire. There's a lot more going on there than just explaining to them what healthcare is. I mean, they still don't understand, in the same way that Dr. Weston was talking about how they took over the pharmaceutical industry, they also took over the Department of Education.
Once they got it created. Yes.
Yeah. And then the thing is, now it's just a lot of these federal agencies are just money laundering organizations for black operations. Ollie North said that it was the HUD, that HUD was a candy store for black ops money. You look at Department of Education now, I mean, let's just look at Florida as a case sample. Florida. You know, we raise a pretty good amount of taxes for education. It should be adequate, but it never seems to be enough. So they push this lottery through, you know, the Florida State Lottery through. And with all the money that they raise off the Florida State Lottery, every public school should look like a gilded university.
Yep.
And all our teachers should have PhDs. Okay, but what's happened. Yeah, but that's not happening. What's ended up happening is they can't spend that money because it's earmarked for education. So they'll kick it up to the U.S. Department of Education, who will remove the earmarks, take their cut, and then kick back down the laundered money back to the state unearmarked money. Yeah. That's how we end up getting bullshit projects like this, train to nowhere between Orlando and Tampa. That's pure pork to, you know, line the pockets of these lobbyists.
Right.
Yep. And it's coming out of our education funds.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the other things too, and getting back to the healthcare discussion we were having, is that, you know, I've long, then also explaining to people that the process of, well, it's not a process, the role, that's the term, the role that healthcare became over the past 35 to 40 years was to function as another tool of your enslavement.
Of course.
Okay, and the Obamacare, Affordable Health Care Act, Romneycare, whatever you want to call it, okay, it was the final nail in the complete enslavement of the nation via the healthcare vehicle. And I say that because it always comes down to the money. It always comes down to follow the money. Okay. And I don't know if the statistics have changed in the past 5 or 10 years, okay? But I know 10 years ago and prior, literally there was a window from about 1975, 1980 through about 2005 or so, that the number one bankruptcy in America was medical bills.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you see how that then serves the purpose then, the greater purpose of the banker's agenda. What is the agenda of the bank when they loan you the money at significant interest to buy your home? And not only do you have to put your home and the land associated with it up, but nowadays you probably have to put up a whole bunch of other marbles that belong to you, real assets that belong to you at the same time, before the bank decides to give you that loan. Because the reality is that the bank is banking on the fact that you're not going to end up paying them back one day. And they're going to then take your real assets from you.
Using money they created out of thin air.
And they do that, yes, in America and most of the other nations of the world that have this same kind of fiat banking system, they do that with money that they created out of thin air. I mean, it's an amazing scam. It's incredible.
It really
that's
is.
Incredible. Yeah.
It really,
so
really
that,
is.
That's something that gets under the craw very quickly of many of my patients, okay? Another interesting topic about that, too, now, as we are moving into this death spiral of healthcare, okay? So what is happening to your local doctor groups and et cetera? Probably happening down there in the Tampa, Florida area. It's certainly happening here, out basically in rural South Carolina, in the Piedmont of South Carolina, where I live. You have a lot of small towns. Some of them a little bigger than others. Mine's one of the bigger ones that I practice in, and you're seeing a complete assimilation now of all of the mom and pop doctor groups, okay, that have existed for decades. Because the only way that they feel that they're going to be able to still gain some type of a reasonable market share, nothing like what they used to earn, okay, but the only way they believe they're going to continue to capture some type of reasonable market share and sustain that wonderful lifestyle that they've gotten used to for the past 30 years is they're having to assimilate themselves into the hospital systems, because the hospital systems have the IV to the heroin, the free money, okay? And so the hospital systems are buying up all of the mom-and-pop doctor groups around your areas, okay? And that's why they're doing it. They're doing it to survive, okay? Well, on top of that now, in the past 2 years, I've had numerous patients that have come into my office to see me, and they're grumpy, and they have this other paperwork in their hand. And I'm like, well, what's the paperwork? What's wrong? And they're like, oh, well, in order for me to go to the orthopedic doctor group here in town, I actually have to fill an application out. Well, after I had 3 or 4 of my patients tell me this and had the paperwork with them, I said, do you mind if I look at that? And so, no, and I looked at the paperwork, and I looked at it, and it didn't take me very long to realize that you were being credit apped, okay? And so I handed it back to that patient, and I said, oh, well, now I understand why they're doing this. And the patient looks at me like, well, why are they doing this? Well, can you explain this? And I said, yeah, it's real simple, okay? They're credit apping you. They're going to make sure that you're going to be able to pay them. Because if the insurance doesn't pay them, or whoever else, the government doesn't pay them, they're going to get it from you. So they're going to make sure that there's blood to get from you, because that's the game. Okay? All right? And that's why when people go to the hospital, they end up in collections 2 weeks later. Whether the insurance is going to pay the bill or not, whether the accident was your fault or not, whether you decided to have a heart attack on the wrong day, whatever it was, it doesn't matter. Okay? What matters is that they're going to destroy your credit in the process of eventually putting you into complete bankruptcy and complete enslavement to the Federal Reserve bankers who have now destroyed this country 102 years since its inception.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
And that's the deal. Sorry, I'll shut up.
No, I mean, it's right on. Yeah, it's all absolutely pertinent to what we're discussing. I mean, even going back to the strange anomalies that happening with the holistic doctors, well, why is that happening? Because they actually pose a threat. They pose a threat.
And
honestly, when there's a threat posed to something as big as we're talking about, it's kind of like, you know, the little excerpt when Michael Taggart, you know, his car suddenly exploded before he hit a pole. And, you know, you had all these strange deaths that were occurring. Why? Because there was a threat. And when there's a threat, people tend to drop like flies. You know, again, I'm surprised there's a Clinton not in office because they seem to be actually more associated to that happening. But obviously it doesn't matter. When it comes to big corporate money, whatever lies in the way is going to get taken out. And you know what's serious when MSM – mainstream media is avoiding it like the plague. That's when you know there's something really not good going on.
It's not just the mainstream media that won't talk about the banks. It's also even the politicians. I mean, you look at the last Republican National Convention debate. I'm sorry, the debate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's his name? Ben Carson?
Ben Carson. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He sat there and danced around Cloward and Pivens and did everything but call it Cloward and Pivens. He was talking about elements within our government that are trying to bankrupt us to collapse his government. But he won't flat out say, hey, we've got a Cloward and Pivens going on. You know, these concepts that these are all concepts that need to get out there. And people, you know, they're when they say the mainstream media says that we need to protect the dollar. No, fuck no. I'm sorry. Bleep that
it's
out.
All right. You're okay. You're okay.
We don't want to protect the dollar. We want to kill it. We want to kill it. We want to kill the banks. To paraphrase Al Capone and the Untouchables, I want them dead. I want you to go after the families and kill them all. I want you to burn down their house. I want to come in the middle of the night and piss on their ashes. We want the dollar dead. We want the banks dead because they are the root source of all our problems. And they think that they're falling for this narrative that, oh no, we need the banks in order to stabilize our economy. That's bullshit. They're causing all these fucking problems. They're causing all these problems. And not only that, but they're charging us for it. And then they're printing money off the books and giving it to people that we have no idea who the hell they're giving it to. Yeah, you go on YouTube. Anybody that's listening that cares. Go on YouTube and look up $9 trillion missing from the Federal Reserve, and these guys printed up $9 trillion. The OIG was testifying about it in front of Congress, and they couldn't answer, or they would not answer, who the money went to, and now the estimates are up to $27 trillion. And these guys are doing it off of the books, and they don't answer to us. I mean, there's another one where Alan Greenspan is saying exactly that, that the president and U.S. government have absolutely no say over the Federal Reserve or any of their economic policies. We are being held by the nuts, people. Wake the fuck up. Buy gold, buy silver, buy Bitcoin, bypass the damn banks as much as you can. Every dollar you put in gets split up under fractional reserve banking. You are literally adding the piss to your Kool-Aid. You're diluting your spending power every time you put a dollar into the bank. It gets chopped up. They create another $10 for every dollar that you put into the bank to lend out at interest. They literally created that money out of nowhere. I'm sorry. Let me get off my soapbox.
Okay.
I apologize.
No, that was
I get
great.
So pissed off.
No, that was great. And you vote with your dollars, okay? Like we were,
yes.
You know, I touched on earlier, okay? And that's a concept that, you know, is catching on tremendously. And also, you know, the information now, more and more and more is out there, and people are waking up to it. Of course, they feel, you know, what can I do about it, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and I keep that conversation very simple with them and state, well, you start by voting with your dollars. Okay. You keep as little in the bank as possible. Okay. You don't go to Walmart when you can help it, okay? And you don't support their system, okay, as best you can. It can be done. You know, it does change your buying habits a little bit. You may end up actually spending a few more dollars, but you will have done it in supporting systems that are pushing back against, you know, what is trying to destroy us. Yeah, whether or not it's too late and all that kind of stuff, I mean, it seems to me that the end game is beyond turning it back now. But the reality is, though, that the knowledge of what we're talking about is so critical. And for those, and for anybody that's listening tonight, and, you know, they're thinking, wow, you know, these people are kind of out there. I don't know what this stuff's all about. Find out.
I don't think there's very many people who are really thinking that way anymore.
Well, good. Well, you know, I know that, and that's part of the beauty. That's part of the big challenge of what's ahead now. Okay, you know, the signs are posted now. Okay, and so the end game of what is going to play out is well in motion now at this point in time. So the knowledge that you have, if you have a pretty good handle and understanding on why we are where we are, then continue to vote with your dollar, spread the word, you know, do what you can locally as best you can with local political people, city commissioners, county commissioners, your state representatives. Those are the people that you need to be talking to and trying to direct this information to them. If they know it, great. If they don't, well, there's another person that you just helped to try to wake up, okay, who may actually be able to take a stand against other actions that are happening locally in your communities, which, you know, they do that through the Agenda 21 United Nations tools and
yes.
All of those aspects of the money that they're trying to influence your city, your town, your county, et cetera. And they usually come under the guise of economic sustainability and economic growth and things like that, and they're tied to all these different, you know, lobbying type organizations who are just little shell game components of the people who create the money out of thin air in order to fund this process. And you know, it's, I don't know how some of them look in the mirror anymore at times. I mean, to me, it's such a tough thing. You know, and on the note about the money, let me share this with you and your audience here.
I was going to say, we got to make it quick because we only got 2 minutes left.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be very quick, okay? And for those of you that have investments, 401ks, all that kind of stuff, and you're wondering, what should I do with some of it? Well, there are some entities out there that can help you and give you some guidance and think outside the box. And just to explain to you that don't think for a second that Merrill Lynch and Ed Jones and Charles Schwab and all the rest of them are not in on this. I got a memo, okay, from an insider, okay, at one of those institutions. It was an email that had been sent to him. It says on the bottom, for internal use only, do not share this with the public. And it discusses all these topics of these things that are happening right now. The dollar losing its world reserve currency status. Is the yuan going to be introduced as part of the world's reserve currency? Yes, it is. Blah, 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 blah. And it tells them how they're supposed to basically lie to their clients.
Yep.
Okay? While their ability to pass on financial wealth generational wealth of their families is going to be destroyed by this system.
They'll always make money, people. They'll make money off of you. They privatize the profits while they socialize the losses. Pull your money out of the damn brokerages. They don't care about you. They're gambling with your money, and they're gonna stiff you as soon as they get the chance. There's a
Raphael. I gotta cut you off.
All right, wait, real quick. Self-directed IRA. Go get yourself a self-directed IRA, and it'll create. You know, you can go to goldsilver.com. You can go to Euro Pacific Capital. Those guys are on board. Peter Schiff, Mike Maloney. Those guys are awesome. Get a self-directed IRA, set up a subsidiary corporation, and control your own retirement money. Retirement money.
I got to cut you off. It's 9 o'clock.
There you go.
Guys, thank you for joining me tonight. Folks, I got to cut this really short because Rocky's got his show coming up behind me. Join me next week on the Vixen's Ball. I'm going to have Dr. Chuck Kennedy on with me, a neurologist, and we're going to talk about the neurology of the paranormal. Be there, be square. Talk to you all later. Have a great evening. Thank you, Chuck.
Night.
Thank you, Raphael.
Have a good night. Yep. Bye-bye.
Yeah.